So Adolf Loos was born in almost at the end of 19th century. 100 years before he was born, iron bridge over the River Severn was built, which was the first metal bridge ever built. 150, first elevator was built. But the thing is that 18th century was the century of intellectual revolution, and the 19th century was the century of industrial revolution. One of the famous thinkers of that century was Hegel. He believed that reality through history was step by step revealing the truth through dialectics. But I think the three most important persons in the 19th century was Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, with his dialectic materialism, where for him economical reality affects ideas instead of the opposite, like with Hegel, and Sigmund Freud, with he finishes the image of man who is in conflict with himself. But it's the age of the Industrial Revolution, where suddenly our world changed completely. In 1951, Crystal Palace in London. We all know what it is. We're talking about it. Charles Darwin wrote The Origin of the Species in 1859. John Augustus Rebling and Washington Rebling, his brother, finished the Brooklyn Bridge in Vienna. First was the demolition of outer walls, and then Emperor Franz Joseph approved projects for Ringstrasse and Lassenstrasse, and the boulevards are officially opened 5 years before he was born. In the 70s, François Enebic patented the Enebic system, concrete. So Loos is born. I don't want to tell history about his life, but he went to America. He's largely influenced by Louis Sullivan, and he comes back, returns to Vienna, entering Vienna's intelligentsia circles. These were some of his friends. And what was, when he was 30 years old, and when he came back from the United States, what was actual architecture? What was good architecture then? So we can say that it was Otto Wagner's Majolica House, which is built at the same time. And we will probably all know this image. Or secessionist building by Josef Maria Albrecht, also in Vienna. But what was building in America in that time? Adler and Louis Sullivan started 1899 working on Carson Pier and Scott building in Chicago, which is something completely different. So we get to the first, I'm not going to say about a lot of works of him, I just have maybe two or three. So 1908, he writes Ornament and Crime, which is his famous theory work or critique. And 1809 till 11, he builds Goldman and Salach in Vienna. Which was different from that what we saw with Otto Wagner in many things. So what are key points that I somehow see? He was against the short-term ornamental fashion architecture. But he was not against the concept of ornament. He didn't hate really the ornament, but he was against the use of the ornament in that time. Just borrow it from the past and use it on your own building. So he thought that this should stop, because like the people who were tattooing themselves in Africa stopped doing that when they are now in 19th century, because they don't need to do that anymore. And somehow we don't need to use that same ornament. We have to find out what is our ornament. And this word, von Kultur, I didn't really find an English word for that, or the Serbian, but I think he was looking for some kind of culture of living. And for him, the house is for people to live in, and that's the most important thing. That means that the inside is more important than outside. And the Raumplan, I will explain that later, is one of his key spatial concepts. And what I think about loss architecture is it's undrawable. Even it's really drawable, but you cannot really explain loss architecture through the 2D space. You cannot explain it through the sections. You cannot explain it through the plan, because something else is in the matter, and that he calls cube. Of course, that there's a notion of proper furniture. This is one sentence that it was very important for me. That says a lot about his thinking of architecture. All that remains the tattooed body of the Papuan and the dog that will not move from the warmth of his stove. And then after 909, the avalanche started in architecture. That was really important. So this period where he was living, he was born in 1970. And then when he was 40 years old, things get to happen really fast and on different directions. I made this list because these are some things that are really important and really different from everything that was going before that. And he was stuck in the middle of that, and he was 40, and he also had his theory, and he got he was having problems to adapt to this new world and to stay with his attitude. So he was starting to be contradictory. But otherwise, he continued to work like he thought he should do it. So these are some of the things that happened there. So in only 20 years, a lot of things happened in architecture that changed forever. This is one of his houses that I maybe like the most, the Villa Müller in Wien. There are some diagrams, you cannot really see them nicely, but some diagonals that are shown here that are in vertical section or in the plan are showing the things he's interested in. So he's connecting the spaces in a totally different way that they were constructed before. So what he says is, my architecture is not conceived in plans but in spaces, cubes. I don't design floor plans, facade sections, I design spaces. For me, there is no ground floor, first floor. For me, there is only contiguous, continual spaces, rooms, anterooms, terraces, stories merge and spaces related to each other. Every space requires a different height. Dining room is surely higher than the pantry, thus the ceilings are set to the different levels. To join these spaces in such a way that the rise and fall are not only unobservable but also practical, in this I see what is for the others the great secret, although it's for me it's a great matter, of course. Coming back to your question, is just this spatial interaction and spatial austerity that thus far I have best able to realize in Dr. Müller's house. That's it. I have some questions after all this, which I'm interested in. That would be, what should be this Wohnkultur in 21st century? Or maybe better, what should be this one culture in the age of abundance? Next thing is, what is fashion and in architecture, and what stays in architecture? And the third one is, what is stability and what is ephemeral? So that's it.